Right now, in Hyderabad, India, there's this wild reality where a junior AI engineer with like maybe 3 years of experience is likely making a higher salary than a traditional software developer who's been relentlessly coding for over a decade.
Oh, yeah. It's a total inversion of the whole tech hierarchy.
Right. Like, let that sink in for a second. The artificial intelligence boom isn't just something that's, coming soon. It has already completely rewritten the rules.
Absolutely. It's kind of like the Wild West, but with these massive, massive enterprise budgets behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you are listening to this, you already know the stakes. Like, the question isn't whether AI is the future anymore.
No, the real question is how you actually cross that bridge, like
Yeah.
going from just reading about chatbots to actually getting paid to build them.
Which is such a huge jump. It's this ultimate barrier to entry, right? Going from a passive consumer of all this tech news to an active, hireable participant.
It really is. It feels like standing at the bottom of a huge mountain without a map. Most people, they just look at the peak, get totally intimidated by the sheer complexity, and they just walk away.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is entirely focused on the map. We have
Okay.
this fascinating, highly detailed source guide that we're going to break down.
Yeah, it's an incredible blueprint.
It really is. It's a literal step-by-step career blueprint designed specifically for the AI and machine learning space. And we are looking at this through the lens of one of the most dynamic tech hubs on the planet, which is Hyderabad.
Right, and Hyderabad is just the perfect testing ground for this blueprint.
It's so exciting because we aren't just talking in the abstract here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is that if you want to understand the global AI job market, you have to look at where the talent vacuum is the most intense. And Hyderabad isn't just, casually participating in the boom.
They built an engine for it.
They really engineered a specific ecosystem for it. You have this massive historical concentration of IT infrastructure, which is suddenly being supercharged by global giants.
Right, like Microsoft, Google,
Yeah,
Amazon.
they're all setting up massive campuses. And then you combine that corporate presence with super aggressive government backing and this hyper agile startup scene, you get an absolute epicenter.
It totally proves that even in this era of remote work and cloud computing, physical geography still matters, you know?
Oh, 100%.
The revolution isn't just floating in the cloud. It requires real-world talent density. You need the big tech giants sitting literally right across the street from the hungry startups.
And they are all fighting over the exact same pool of skilled engineers. That friction is what creates the massive opportunity.
Right. It creates this vacuum that just sucks in talent and drives up compensation. But before anyone can just walk into one of those Hyderabad offices and demand a huge salary, they need to actually understand what they're being hired to do.
Yeah, because the terminology in this space gets thrown around so casually that it honestly loses all meaning sometimes.
Okay, let's unpack this right away. People use artificial intelligence and machine learning completely interchangeably, like they are exact synonyms.
Which drives me crazy, honestly.
Right. But this roadmap draws a really hard line between them, and I think that distinction is super crucial for you to figure out what you actually want to study.
It's fundamental.
So the easiest way to think about it, well, my favorite analogy for this is to look at higher education. Artificial intelligence is like the entire university campus, right?
I like that.
It's the broad concept of a machine mimicking human intelligence. Then, machine learning is a specific degree program within that university. It's the engine.
And then deep learning is the hyper-focused PhD dissertation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And mechanistically, the shift from traditional software to this AI framework is wild. Traditional programming is basically giving a computer a highly specific recipe to bake a cake. You write out every single step.
And if you miss a single step, the cake is completely ruined. The
Yeah.
computer will never, ever figure out that missing step on its own.
Right. It only knows what you explicitly typed. But machine learning flips that entire paradigm upside down.
It really does.
Instead of giving the computer a recipe, you give it like 1,000 pictures of a cake, a massive list of raw ingredients, and you essentially tell it, figure out the recipe yourself.
That is a phenomenal way to frame it. The system learns from the data without you having to explicitly code every single instruction. Machine learning is pattern recognition at just an unfathomable scale.
Yeah.
Like the recommendation algorithms on your streaming service, they aren't explicitly coded to know you like sci-fi. They figured out the recipe of your preferences by crunching your viewing data.
And then you take that a step deeper into deep learning, the PhD level.
Yes. And mechanistically, deep learning is where things get truly powerful. If machine learning is finding the recipe, deep learning is stacking thousands of those recipe finders on top of each other in layers.
Right, the neural networks.
Exactly. We call them artificial neural networks because they loosely mimic the human brain. So the first layer might just look at raw pixels. The next layer recognizes edges. The next recognizes shapes.
And then the final layer recognizes a human face.
Precisely. That multi-layered processing is what drives facial recognition, autonomous vehicles, and obviously the massive generative AI models that can write poetry or, you know, debug code.
So knowing that progression, going from the broad concept of AI down to the heavy-duty neural networks of deep learning, we can start to make sense of the actual jobs being posted.
Right. And there are a lot of them.
There really are. The diversity of roles out there right now just proves that this is a maturing market. We aren't just seeing job postings for a generic AI guy anymore.
Not at all. The specialization is intense because the problems they are solving are getting much more complex.
Yeah, the blueprint lays out a whole spectrum of titles. You have machine learning engineers who are the builders constructing the actual predictive models. You have data scientists who are acting almost more like detectives.
Yeah, pulling actionable business insights out of oceans of unstructured data.
But then you get into the true specialists, right? Natural language processing or NLP engineers.
Oh, NLP is huge right now. Their entire job is essentially translating human chaos into machine logic.
I love that phrasing, human chaos.
Well, it is. An NLP engineer is the reason a computer can read a million customer reviews and instantly tell you that people hate the new packaging. They deal with the mechanics of language, you know, tokens, syntax, probability, so the machine can predict and generate text.
Then you have computer vision engineers who are basically teaching computers how to see and interpret the physical world. MLOps engineers, which sounds like military jargon, but is actually just about deployment.
Right. Very critical deployment role.
And of course, generative AI engineers, the people wrangling the large language models. But here's where it gets really interesting for me. It's not just tech companies hiring these specialists.
No, it's everywhere.
The industries pouring money into AI right now are totally wild based on this source: agriculture, healthcare, manufacturing.
Because AI is no longer a niche software product. It is horizontal infrastructure.
Like electricity.
Exactly, like electricity. Yeah. When electricity was commercialized, it didn't just create an electricity industry.
Yeah.
It permanently altered manufacturing, farming, transportation, healthcare. AI is doing the exact same thing right now. It's the new baseline utility.
I mean, I get the electricity comparison, but I have to admit, when I picture artificial intelligence, I am picturing server racks and glowing green code.
Sure. The whole sci-fi Matrix vibe.
Yeah. I am definitely not picturing crop irrigation. So how does an AI engineer actually work in agriculture? What is the mechanism there?
Well, it comes down to eliminating human guesswork. Traditionally, a farmer might guess when to water or harvest based on, you know, an almanac or sheer intuition. Today, an AI model in the agriculture sector is pulling in real-time satellite imagery to check the exact color of the leaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's pulling data from IoT moisture sensors buried directly in the soil. It's cross-referencing that with 50 years of historical weather patterns.
That's a massive amount of data.
It is. And the neural network processes all of those distinct data streams simultaneously to optimize the exact minute a field should be irrigated, to maximize yield, and completely minimize water waste.
So it's literally taking an analog industry and turning it into a hyper-precise data science operation.
Exactly. And in healthcare, it's even more critical. Think back to the computer vision engineers we just mentioned. To a computer, a medical scan like an X-ray or an MRI isn't a picture.
Right, it's just data.
It's a massive grid of pixels, which translates to a giant table of numbers. And AI is trained on millions of these number grids until it can recognize the incredibly subtle mathematical variations that indicate, say, an early stage tumor.
It spots anomalies that a human might miss.
Exactly. Anomalies so slight that a human doctor dealing with eye fatigue after a 12-hour shift might easily overlook them.
And in manufacturing, I imagine it's about keeping the assembly line moving, right?
Predictive maintenance. They literally put acoustic sensors on heavy factory machinery. The AI listens to the waveform of the vibrations. Long before a gear strips or a belt snaps, long before a human ear could ever hear a problem, the AI detects a microscopic anomaly in the vibration pattern.
That is wild.
And it alerts the floor manager that the machine is going to fail in exactly 3 weeks.
Okay, When you explain the mechanics of it like that, it completely makes sense why these companies are willing to pay so much. These aren't just neat little features. They are mission-critical systems that save millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to the compensation, because the salary progression outlined in this Hyderabad blueprint is
It
staggering.
really reflects the barrier to entry we talked about earlier.
Right. So a fresher, someone with, 0 to 2 years of experience, is pulling in 4 to 8 lakhs per annum, which is a very strong starting gate. But the scaling is what caught my eye.
It scales incredibly fast.
It does. Mid-level, just 3 to 5 years in, jumps to 8 to 16 lakhs. Senior level, 6 to 10 years, goes from 16 to 30 lakhs. And if you hit AI architect, where you're orchestrating these massive systems across an entire enterprise, you are looking at 30 to 60 plus lakhs per annum.
And those upper tier salaries, they aren't just handed out because AI is a trendy buzzword. That money is essentially hazard pay for dealing with unfathomable complexity.
Hazard pay, I like that.
Well, it is, which begs the question, how do you actually learn to tame that complexity? Knowing the salaries exist is completely useless if you don't know the exact steps to acquire the skills.
And this is where the blueprint gets incredibly practical. It lays out a definitive 8-step roadmap to go from absolute beginner to hireable engineer. Let's walk through the logic of this path.
Yeah.
Step one is learning programming, specifically Python.
Which is completely non-negotiable. Python won the AI race because it's incredibly readable, almost like plain English, but more importantly, it has a massive ecosystem of pre-built libraries.
So you don't have to build everything from scratch.
Right. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you want to parse data. Python already has a tool for it.
Makes total sense. But then we hit step two, which is learn mathematics. The roadmap specifically demands statistics, probability, and linear algebra. Wait, math. I have to challenge this.
Go for it.
I thought the whole promise of the AI revolution was that the computers do the math for us. If you are taking a course today, can't you just skip the dry textbook statistics and go straight to the fun stuff? I just want to plug into a large language model and start generating things.
It is the most tempting shortcut in the entire world,
Huh?
and it is exactly why so many beginners completely fail their technical interviews.
Really? Just because of the math?
Yes, if we connect this to the bigger picture, if you just grab off-the-shelf tools like an OpenAI API without understanding the underlying math, you are treating artificial intelligence like a magic black box. You type a prompt, you get an output. It feels like magic.
Until the magic stops working.
Exactly. Let's say you deploy a customer service chatbot for a major bank. Suddenly, the model starts hallucinating. It confidently invents a fake refund policy and promises a customer $10,000.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
The box broke. And if you bypass the math, you have absolutely no idea why it broke. You are just guessing at that point. You try changing the prompt, you cross your fingers, and you just hope it doesn't happen again.
Which is a terrifying way to run a banking system.
It's totally unacceptable at the enterprise level.
Yeah.
The engineers making those massive salaries understand that an AI model is essentially a massive web of mathematical weights. To fix a hallucination, you have to understand the probability distributions driving the text generation.
Okay, that makes sense.
You need linear algebra because, as we discussed with the medical images, AI processes data as matrices, giant grids of numbers. If you understand matrix transformations, you can open the hood of the engine, diagnose exactly where the data pipeline is corrupted, and actually fix it. You aren't guessing, you're engineering.
Okay, the math is the diagnostic tool. It's what separates a tinkerer from a true engineer. That completely reframes it for me. And it perfectly sets up step three and step four, mastering machine learning algorithms and deep learning neural networks using the exact math you just learned.
And implementing them using Python frameworks, like TensorFlow or PyTorch, those are the industry standard tools for actually building the models.
But building it on your laptop isn't enough, which leads to step five, projects, and step six, cloud AI platforms. The roadmap highlights Microsoft Azure, AWS, and Google Vertex. Why is the cloud such a massive chunk of this learning path?
Because a model that only works on your personal laptop is completely useless to a global corporation.
Right.
It has to be deployed to the cloud so millions of users can access it simultaneously. And this introduces a whole new set of tools you just have to master, specifically deployment tools like Docker and Kubernetes.
Okay, I see these two terms everywhere. Let's break them down mechanistically.
Right.
What is Docker actually doing under the hood?
Think of traditional software deployment, like trying to move a highly customized high-performance engine from one car to another. You finally get it into the new car. but the fuel lines don't match up, the exhaust is the wrong size, and it just refuses to start.
Sounds frustrating.
Code is the exact same way. It works perfectly on your machine, but when you send it to the company's server, it crashes because the environment is slightly different.
The classic, it works on my machine excuse.
Exactly. Every developer has said it. Docker solves this by putting your code, its dependencies, and literally everything it needs to run into a perfectly sealed, standardized container.
Like a shipping container for software.
Precisely. Whether that container is sitting on your laptop or on an AWS server in Tokyo, the environment inside the box is identical. The model runs flawlessly every single time.
That is brilliant. So if Docker is the shipping container, what is Kubernetes?
Kubernetes is the automated port manager. Let's say your new AI feature goes viral, and suddenly you have 10,000 people trying to access your single Docker container all at once.
It's going to crash.
It's going to crash instantly. Kubernetes constantly monitors the traffic. When it sees a huge spike, it automatically spins up 500 identical Docker containers to handle the load. And then when the traffic dies down, it destroys them to save money on server costs. It basically orchestrates the chaos.
So the progression is Python to write the code, math to understand it, TensorFlow to build the model, Docker to containerize it, Kubernetes to manage the scale, and the cloud to host it all.
That's the pipeline.
That is an incredibly robust pipeline, which leads right into step 7, certifications, and step 8, getting the job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, knowing this pipeline exists brings up a very practical problem for the listener.
How do you actually go about learning it all without losing your mind?
Exactly. If I am in a hub like Hyderabad looking to upskill, there are literally hundreds of institutes and boot camps promising to make me an AI master. How do you filter out all that noise and pick a training program that actually respects this incredibly complex pipeline we just discussed?
The Blueprint offers a very clear filtration system for this. First, you have to look past the marketing and examine the curriculum. Is it purely theoretical, or is it heavily industry-oriented? If they aren't teaching the deployment tools, you know, the Dockers, the clouds, they're literally only teaching half the job.
So what does this all mean? The overarching theme here is that practical execution absolutely trumps pure theory.
100%.
Taking a theoretical AI course without building anything is like, it's like trying to learn how to swim by only reading a textbook on the physics of water.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. You might ace a written test on buoyancy, but the second you jump in the actual deep end, you are going to drown. You have to get into the water.
Right, which is why the single most important criterion for choosing a course is hands-on projects. You shouldn't be writing code that just outputs hello world. You should be building a working fraud detection system. You should be building a sentiment analysis tool that actually scrapes live social media data.
The Blueprint also highlights the need for experienced trainers, internship opportunities, and real placement assistance. Plus, a curriculum that prepares you for major industry certifications like the Microsoft Azure AI Fundamentals or the AWS Machine Learning Specialty.
Those certifications are really good third-party validation that you actually know the cloud architecture. But honestly, in a highly competitive market, this raises an important question. Certifications mostly just get you past the automated resume screeners. How do you prove to the human hiring manager that you can actually survive in the deep end?
You show them your portfolio.
Yes, but not just a static list of Python scripts sitting in a GitHub repository. Anyone can copy and paste code from the internet. Real, undeniable proof of competency is taking that fraud detection model you built, containerizing it with Docker, setting up a Kubernetes cluster, and deploying it live on AWS or Azure.
So you hand them a link to a live breathing application.
Yes. If you can link an employer to an interface where they can actively interact with your deployed model, you completely change the dynamic of the interview. You aren't just promising them that you understand AI. You are proving that you understand the entire enterprise pipeline from raw data all the way to a user-facing product.
You've essentially proven that you are a risk-free hire.
Exactly.
That is the ultimate takeaway here. The landscape of artificial intelligence feels so vast and chaotic from the outside, but as we've explored today, the path to entering it is incredibly structured.
It really is.
It's not sci-fi magic. It's mastering Python, leaning into linear algebra, building neural networks, and orchestrating it all on the cloud. The blueprint is right there. And the explosion of roles across agriculture, healthcare, and manufacturing just proves that the demand for humans who can build and tame these systems is entirely real.
The opportunity is sitting right there for anyone willing to respect the complexity of the roadmap and, you know, actually put in the work to master the underlying mechanics.
It really is a phenomenal map. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought. Something to turn over in your head that builds directly on this entire career pipeline we've just outlined.
Sure.
We have spent this whole time talking about how desperately enterprise companies need humans to build, monitor, debug, and optimize these machine learning models. But we also know that artificial intelligence is advancing at just an exponential rate.
Oh, yeah. It is rapidly getting better at writing its own code and spotting its own structural errors.
Exactly. AI is learning how to do the exact things we are currently training junior engineers to do. So here is the question. How long until AI starts automating the entry-level AI engineering roles themselves?
That's the million-dollar question.
If a large language model can write the Python scripts, instantly debug a broken Docker container, and deploy itself to AWS faster than a human ever could, what does the next evolution of this eight-step roadmap look like?
Well, if the AI becomes the junior engineer, the barrier to entry entirely shifts.
Right. What does the human need to become to stay relevant when the machine can build the machine? It is a fascinating, maybe slightly terrifying puzzle to chew on as you look at these course curriculums and plot out your next career move. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring the mechanisms behind the magic, keep building those live portfolios, and never stop questioning the systems running the world around you. We'll catch you next time.